is proposed to actually be in place for a bit longer. I think I wrote it for 6 months. So just to give you some time to hash it over as a council and then give us direction on what you would like to see as a permanent ordinance. So this is a bit of a just a stopgap until you can have those discussions, all right? Thinking that it's better to put the prohibition in place now rather than wait the 4 months or whatever until you put a regular ordinance in place, then you have to tell people to stop doing what they've been doing, you know, that sort of thing. So better to put it in place sooner rather than later. And then finally, there is, Forrest had a concern regarding advertisement, and there is advertisement restrictions in the regular law that really isn't kicked in yet because they aren't issuing licenses on cannabis businesses yet. And so this was handed out at the dais here. This is for the council's consideration. If you want to add it to the interim ordinance, the interim licensing ordinance, essentially what it does is it pulls that statutory advertisement limitations into the interim ordinance and then into your regular ordinance as well, if you want to adopt it. And it goes a little bit further. I added a sentence at the end that talks about getting at neon signs, flashing signs, and the reader board signs. Because one of the things that are prohibited under the state law, once that kicks in for licensed establishments, is that you can't have things that are geared towards persons under 21. Cartoonish kind of things or use of images of persons under 21 in your advertisement or things that are otherwise kind of deemed attractive to persons under 21. And this isn't all that unfamiliar with like tobacco advertisements and that sort of thing that really shouldn't be targeted at kids. And so the idea is, and this is up to the council, that last sentence is my add-on. So it goes above and beyond what the statute will require. But the idea is trying to get at those flashing, you know, marijuana leaf signs and the other things that are kind of, you know, have that sort of attractive, you know, arguably to persons under 21 to want to, you know, head that way and engage in an activity that's prohibited under the advertisement restrictions. So that's an add-on amendment for you to consider. So with all of that, what I'd recommend, and I should say, this has been very much a team effort. So I'll call on other staff members to jump up and add in as they would like. But what I'd recommend is that we really focus for the purposes of this discussion on the interim licensing ordinance, because the language of that is virtually identical to the regular ordinance. So there's no use talking about those separately. The fee schedule, make sure you're comfortable with those fees, which, by the way, were taken largely from a bit of a mix between tobacco and liquor. And then the interim ordinance on use in public places. So if we're okay, we'll just jump into that. Any questions so far? Trying to cover a lot in a short period of time.
So, no. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So so we're looking at the interim licensing ordinance, and really what this does obviously has a lot of definitions, but this isn't all that unfamiliar with or unsimilar. It's very like your other licensing requirements that you have. So it says a license is required and ineligible places or operations. So what we have here is, you know, we talk about things you can't have mobile, but, you know, you can't have the ice cream cart of edibles driving around and selling, can't have vending machines, those sorts of things. Delivery are prohibited. You know, so those, and importantly, and this is where the map comes into play, a business located or proposed to be located on a lot that is within 1,000 feet of a school, 500 feet of a residential treatment facility, or 500 feet of a public park. So that those distances and identifiers come out of the statute that say specifically local governments can establish those setbacks. So that's an important qualifier on, that's an ineligible place. You can't start a selling business within one of those distances. I should also point out that to be eligible to obtain a license from the city, you have to qualify as an eligible business. And the definition of eligible business really breaks it down into a couple categories. One, you have a current tobacco license, or that you have a current on or off sale liquor license to sell intoxicating liquor. So those are the two. So you're limiting who can get a license to those two types of businesses, those with a tobacco license and those with an on or off sale intoxicating liquor license. Okay. And then we run through the application procedures. That's all pretty straightforward. Operational requirements. This gets at how they're managing, not at the level that we will be seeing with the cannabis products. You remember and the chief scratching her head and saying, we don't know what operational requirements are that we're supposed to be doing inspections on eventually. But for now, what we're looking at are things like you have to have your license displayed, which is pretty standard. Your products that you're selling are supposed to comply with the state law. Product display. The idea is that these aren't self-service. You have to go behind a counter or have someone hand it to you from behind a counter. You can't just maybe, clip some and put it in your pocket while you're walking through. The whole idea is to keep it separated from customers as they're walking around. Sales, obviously, to those are 21 or older, you have to do an age verification. It is open up to inspections, and we do talk about law enforcement doing compliance inspections. Those compliance inspections would be similar to tobacco or liquor. Are you selling to under 21? I think the chief agrees we're not going to get into trying to figure out and test the product. Is it really what it says in the jar and all that? I've been down that road, and I can tell you it's a dead end because their testing isn't set up for it or anything like that. So that's just not something that's realistically going to happen. And taking somewhat of a step back, remember, this whole scheme is just going to be in place between now and when the state is up and running from a licensing perspective. So by its very nature, even though we have a regular ordinance doing this as well, it's kind of interim in that it's only going to last for about a year and a half or so. Yeah. And then the rest of this is just licensing actions. If someone has a violation, you can go through a process to suspend or revoke the license, just like a tobacco or liquor license. So that is that. And again, when we get to the potential add-on, if you're so inclined, it would be to add a couple of definitions that are just straight out of the statute to talk about advertisement and outdoor advertisement. And then a new subdivision and operational requirements that really focuses on you can't do things that would be violated, that would violate the statute that isn't quite in effect yet, because again, these aren't cannabis businesses. But you see the way I worded it is because it specifically in that statute refers to lower potency hemp edibles, which we've talked about. That's what today's edibles magically become when the state starts licensing them. So we go from edible cannabinoids now to lower potency hemp edibles. So the statute talks about the lower potency stuff. So that's why I say in here that, if it's illegal to do this under the statute for lower potency hemp edibles, you can't do it for the edibles now. So it's basically just trying to accelerate the effective date of that statute. Okay. And then, like I said, that additional sentence, the city council determines that using neon flashing or moving image or message window signs, and I really just focused on the window signs, not trying to get to, the full advertisement signs, to advertise edible cannabinoid products is likely to appeal to individuals under 21 years of age in violation of Minnesota statutes, the one I've been referencing, and so is prohibited by this ordinance. So that's intended to again get at that flashing marijuana sign and those sorts of things. So any questions on that one? So again, this is the same language essentially that would have the interim and then would roll into the regular ordinance.
And it's 21 to sell it as well?
Yep. To sell, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I believe that's one of the operational
okay
limitations that I have in here. Yeah. It's prohibited to sell by any employee under the age of 20.
Go ahead, Therese.
This might be part of the state's order. I don't know, but is there a prohibition against smoking in public?
Ah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Good question. Yep, that's one of the three things that we'll talk about. So no, there isn't.
So when this ordinance expires, can we keep another ordinance in place prohibiting public use?
Yeah, so the interim ordinance that's before you this evening puts a prohibition on public places, use in public places. It is just an interim, but this is the one that's a little bit longer. so then you, so staff and council can talk about this a little bit more, okay, and then put in place a permanent ordinance to get at that. I just wanted to make sure that we get something in place now and then give you the opportunity, if you want to tweak it, expand it, limit it, then that would come as part of adopting the permanent ordinance.
Okay, thank you.
So if that is okay, then the next thing is the fee schedule. So this is the resolution amending the fee schedule. So what I did is I went back and looked at the resolutions that you had gotten for the liquor licensing and the tobacco. Those of you who have been on the council, well, I remember we had those discussions. You had quite a bit of discussion as a council and came back with some recommendations on presumptive penalties, not hard and fast, but presumptive penalties. So I followed the same kind of format for this, with the licensing fees being, I believe, and Chrissy, please correct me if I'm wrong, those were focused on more of a liquor licensing focus.
The background check fees are focused on the liquor. The license fee itself was based on a surrounding community's liquor license fee, or excuse me, THC license fee.
Okay, and then when it comes to the presumptive penalties, I believe those are straight out of liquor.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm.
And then the information on the bottom here is essentially clipped and paste from what we had in the liquor resolution that you did. Again, that these are presumptive penalties, but the council can deviate up or down from this. And I know that's been a point of debate, not suggesting that you do deviate one way or the other, but just pointing out that it's not a lock and, you know, that you don't have any discretion. You do have some discretion. So those are the proposed fees. Again, keeping in mind that this would last for the next year and a half, roughly.
So just real quick, the $1,000, that's like what New Hope is doing, or when you say surrounding communities?
It was actually Brooklyn Park.
Okay.
And Mayor, members of the council, part of the reason for that is also it sets the city up, based on what the current license fee that we set when we are required to register after the new, starting at 25, for the state licenses, this is allowing us to have at least the ability to charge the max for that registration cost.
So that's the max. That's also what the state statute says is the max.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. That's not the state statute for the temporary licensing maximum.
For the registration, though.
For the registration. Correct. Yeah. That gives us the ability to, by setting it that high, it allows us to have the maximum when that goes into effect.
Yeah. As a reminder to everyone, remember, once the state gets into the licensing business, city goes from a licensing entity to a registration entity. So the state's doing the licensing, we're doing the registration. So it's really almost all the components of licensing, but without the direct authority over that.
Except we'll be doing the compliance. So
yeah, right.
We'll be taking care of that.
Yep. Oh yeah, the state doesn't
care. They don't care about that.
Yeah, no, that all falls on you.
Great.
All right. And then finally, the use in public places. And this is set up as an interim ordinance. The key to this ordinance is the definition of public place. Right, so I want to make sure you're comfortable with this. It public place, and then each of these are defined, but public park, right of way, or parking lot. And then the rest of that definition, frankly, is it comes out of the statute. They want to make it, so they say that local governments can prohibit use in public places, and public places do not include. And then that's the language they use. It's not that. So I added it in there because I wanted to make clear that we're compliant with the statute. So really, it's the first sentence of that. Public place means any public park, right-of-way, or parking lot. And then each of these are defined as you know, park is public park, playground, sports field, open space, swimming pool, community center, or other recreational area facility. The reality is that some of that is already going to be prohibited when it comes to at least smoking, which I know this is right now just edibles. I don't think there's any smoking component to edibles, but keep in mind this ordinance is intended to apply too once the regular licensing goes into effect. So when you can start smoking cannabis, so that's really key.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Chief.
And Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with regards to what Mr. Gilchrist is saying, I just want to make sure you understand also that when we say parking lot in the ordinance, it's our public, it's not a private parking lot. So for example, the Crystal Shopping Center, that's private. So if we get a call, and keep in mind, right, marijuana is now legal. It's not legal to use it and drive, but it is legal. And so if we get a call of someone at the Target parking lot, for example, standing outside smoking marijuana, there's nothing that we can do about that. Okay, so just keep that in mind.
So these private kind of parking lots, I mean, is there anything Target could do to have their own rules?
That's up to them. Yep. Okay. So every business, that's up totally up to them whether or not they...
And they would have to enforce that.
They would have to enforce it. We can't, correct.
Okay, they wouldn't call you to.
Well, I'm sure they would.
Sure. Okay. Do we know if public?
I have no idea. I have not heard from any businesses wanting to do anything about this.
Okay. Yeah. Where's going?
And just to be clear, the only public parking lots that aren't attached to a park or a municipal building, are those are the ones next to like where Schuler Shoes is that one, I don't know what you would call that strip mall, but that area, right?
Yep, between Egg House Cafe and
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that is our parking lot. There's
unless they're attached to a building or a park.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mayor, that's an excellent point. Now, I have seen some cities that define this to the greatest extent possible, and to me that seemed like a bit biting off more right now than perhaps the city would want to chew. They define public place as anything that isn't the exception. So anything that isn't a private dwelling, private curtilage, you know, so if you're not in your yard or your house, that, you know, so that could be kind of the world. And then those calls would come to the police at police department, and you're potentially, you know, at every private property you're running around that, you know, that isn't that place, that person's home or curtle. That to me seemed like, holy cow, that seemed like a lot. So the focus of this ordinance really is on, as the chief said, the public parking lots, the public roads, the you know, really that the public parks. And not trying to get into all the variations of what might be private, but not under the exception. And to me, that's, now, if you want to go there, I guess we can look at that over the period of the interim ordinance. But because this is an interim ordinance, part of this is you're directing staff to, or through the manager's staff to study this issue and come back. And maybe this is the right balance, maybe it's not. But the point is, I wanted staff to have an opportunity to work with you and to talk and have you folks talk through what you think that right balance is.
Yeah, I kind of like that concept of dealing with our own house. I think that makes a lot of sense. And plus there's a lot of staff issues or commitment on that. So yeah, Boris, did you have something?
I was just gonna say, so you're saying that you have seen other municipalities essentially say that if someone's smoking in their like yard that's publicly accessible, cause like that's the standard here is not generally accessible, then that would be prohibited.
Right. Yeah. Essentially the public place is every place that is not a, you know, okay. And then
so
the rest
very, very like everything that isn't like fenced or right. In a structure.
I personally think that's a bit of a knee jerk, not thinking mm-hmm. it through sort of, you know, because I think that's going to open up a whole can of, we don't know what we're, yeah. How you make that distinction.
But you are looking for council direction a little bit on that, because that's why we're doing the interim ordinance.
Yeah, okay. Eventually. I mean, if you're really uncomfortable with this tonight, let me know. But otherwise, understanding that this is an interim measure, and then we can fine tune this over the period of study.
Yeah, go ahead, Dodge.
Chief, I'm just curious your take on kind of that really broad public definition.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking, Councilmember Hodge. I just, you know, like I said the last time, you know, I really worry about the fact that I'm not worried about that marijuana is legal. It's legal. What I'm worried about is us getting called from the public to have to deal with this and getting into a potential use of force situation, right? I don't want that for my staff. I don't want that for you. Being that it's legal, I understand the fact that nobody wants to go around and smell weed all over the city. I completely understand that and respect it. But I just caution you with going more in detail, as Mr. Gilchrist is saying about that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What's the regulation with liquor, alcohol on parking lots like Target? Is there anything? No, nothing. Yeah. Okay.
Nope. Parks or parks, no alcohol.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's inside of a car, right? I mean, you can't drink and drive, right? You can't have an open bottle. You can't smoke weed and drive. So that's illegal. But if you're outside of a vehicle and in a parking lot that's private, we can't do anything about that.
All right. So, Mr. Mayor, that's really all I have. And if we have a couple of minutes, but I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has. Otherwise, thank you for the opportunity to run through this, because this is a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be happy during the regular meeting to walk through this and answer any questions that you may have, but I won't need to go into the same level of specificity. Sure. So
I like adding the advertisement piece on that earlier part.
Oh yes.
Thank I like you. That. So I know nobody said anything, but yeah.
So a question on that. So if we do see an advertisement, then they could be penalized. They would fall. That would be in violation of the
in the community development realm, right? Not Stephanie would code enforce that. It would be
okay, and that would follow the fee schedule that is proposed. Like if someone has a flashing sign.
Yeah, great question. That's actually an administrative process that the city would go through community development.
Okay, so that doesn't follow the fee schedule that we have here.
Correct.
No,
it'd be under
the umbrella, and I can have John talk to it, but they would be charged with for money, not a crime.
Sure.
So it'd fall under the administrative piece.
Okay. So if they, let's say we ask them to take it down and they don't 2, 3, 4 times, it would follow the $750, $1,500, $2,000.
Their license revocation. Yep.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Right. That's what I was just going to say, is that we could use our regular administrative enforcement and citation process. But that's much slower and less certain than simply going with the licensing, because they would be violating the licensing ordinance, correct, Troy?
Right.
So we would be able to do it under the licensing, where you can impose stronger penalties and potentially suspend or revoke the license, depending on how many times you do it.
Yeah. I just think because that's so public, that might be something that actually does come up more so.
So, Mr. Mayor, to follow up on that, right, the penalty provision or the violation provision in the licensing ordinance says that any violation of the ordinance can either be a criminal matter or administratively enforced. So something like that, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't be writing a criminal, or law enforcement would be writing a criminal citation for a flashing sign.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
One thing to clarify, and just so everybody it's clear, the restriction on the advertising is only for licensed holders. So,
right.
Other businesses who other places could potentially fit in, you know, be allowed to do some of this.
But they wouldn't be allowed to sell and advertise.
Correct.
So they'd have to be.
It's a weird scenario, yeah. But yeah. It's not just so that everybody understands that.
Yeah.
There are still the chance that you're going to see, you know, pot leaves, neon signs somewhere in people's houses. I mean, there's a lot of, it's not going to keep it from being in the city.
All right. Chance, we're adjourned.